We've got 2 weeks on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We probably won't be able to do justice in 2 weeks, but I'm going to kick off, and then John Fudge, I believe, is the one who's going to follow up next week and adjust anything that I say. But anyway, I'm sure John will continue in the same theme and light. Before I speak, I would like to make a confession. I actually told a sort of a half lie, so it's a good place to start, isn't it? But don't judge me yet, because you'll understand why. Mary, the lady that we've been bringing to church recently, one of our neighbours, who we befriended after her husband died, and she's become a good friend. She does some charity work for a very well-off family, if I can put it that way. They live on an estate. They own lots of property. They've got all the sort of, you know, they've got a full-time gardener, housekeeper, electric gates, lovely, lovely house. And she helps them out on charity days when they raise money for a cancer charity. And she was wanting to go to one of their children's weddings that was taking place. And she sort of indicated, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get there. And you know how people drop a little sort of hint. And so me being me, I said, would you like me to take you, Mary? Oh, would you really, please? So anyway, I didn't really know anything about the wedding at all. So we arrive in this village, not very far from here. Hundreds of people, and realise that half the village has turned out. And I'm very well dressed. I've got a suit on, and et cetera, et cetera. But everybody is in mourning dress. So I realise that I'm feeling out of place already. And I didn't know that I was going to go into the wedding, actually. I just thought I was going to drive her. Anyway, and I said, no, you must come in. So we went in. And I mean, it's probably the poshest wedding I've ever been to. They had professional singers, trumpeters, choir. I mean, they had the full works. And I mean, most of them were been to Eton, Harrow, and it's a real sort of public schoolboy sort of wedding. But the singing was fantastic, because these guys sang, and we sang all the traditional Jerusalem and all those. Anyway, as we're leaving the wedding, a rather portly gentleman, very sort of ruddy face, probably enjoyed a few gin and tonics, and sort of bursting with his waistcoat, says, jolly good wedding, wasn't it? I said, oh, you thoroughly enjoyed it. He says, how do you know the family? I thought, what do I say? I said, and it came to me very quickly. I said, oh, I'm the chauffeur. which I was in some ways. And of course, he took it that I was the chauffeur. Jolly good they invited you. So it was a half lie, but it wasn't deliberate. So may God forgive me. So in this period of looking at the Holy Spirit, not only has it been good on a Sunday morning, but God's been working outside in various things, in the connect groups, in journeys. And during that time, people have been coming to know the Lord, surrendering their lives to him. So it is a really good season of what God is doing. And it's my privilege this morning just to talk a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we continue our series, which we've been doing over the last few months. We've looked at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We've looked at the Holy Spirit working in the New Testament, in the life of Jesus, how the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the cross. We talked about the Holy Spirit in suffering, which obviously Fiona did. We looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think it was Tom McGregor, talked about being led by the Holy Spirit. And then last week, Julie and Dolly just talked about the day of Pentecost and some of the personal experiences that there were for them. So this morning we begin the first of 2 weeks on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we try just to gently bring the series to a conclusion. And so I want to keep it reasonably simple this morning, because I appreciate that for some people this is totally new. For some people, they know a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And for some, you're quite experienced and mature in actually operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to try and keep it sort of fairly even this morning. Let me just by saying this, that if you're familiar with Paul's teaching in the New Testament, particularly when he was writing to the church at Galatia, there was a very clear call from Paul to continue in the Holy Spirit. So this isn't just a little block of something that we're doing, and maybe those words prophetically say to us about continuing in the Holy Spirit after these weeks. Because the church in the beginning was born in the Spirit, and that's how all spiritual life begins. So when Paul was writing to the church at Galatia, in one part of his letter he said, "You foolish Galatians! You foolish Galatians!" Because after beginning so well in the Spirit, they didn't continue in the Spirit. They went back into human effort. And he says, now you're trying to obtain your goal by human effort. And so our Christian life began in the Spirit, and by God's grace it will continue to be in the Spirit. So if our beginning is in the Spirit, then it's logical that we continue not by anything mediocre or trivial. It has to continue and be ongoing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was powerful, and so it can't be sustained by anything that's impotent or incompetent, or if it was faith-filled, then it should not continue with worry and unbelief and all those things. So Paul clearly wants us to continue to live and be energized by the Holy Spirit in our personal lives, but also in our corporate gatherings together. Wayne Grudem, I'm sure some of you have read some of his books, who's an author and Bible teacher, he says this: the work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God in the world and especially in the church. So let's just lay a foundation and look at some of the scriptures, and as we look at this, and so just really want to think about why God gives us certain gifts this morning. Let me just do this first, probably before I read the scriptures. So the purpose that the gifts... Do I need to change this? Or I keep cutting out, or are you all right? Okay. The gifts of the Spirit are for building up the church. They're for building up the church. It's to help the church grow into maturity, into Christ-likeness, and in power. It's for the church to be fully equipped. So if someone, let's say a professional, turns up at your door to mend your washing machine, and he takes out a hammer, and that's the only tool that he's got to mend your washing machine, I would think you would begin to panic somewhat. Because it's very limited if the mechanic or the engineer is just going to use a hammer to do such a job. I'm sure if you looked in either Tim or Mike's electrical toolbox when they come to your house, which I know they've been to many of your houses, you would see that they have a numerous amount of tools to get the job done. And so God has made available to each one of us and to the church numerous gifts to be able to use in the maturing and the building up of us as Christians and as the body of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit gifts are not to liven up a dull meeting. They are not there like our best china when we just get them out from time to time when certain people come around. They are the Holy Spirit's equipment for life, for the mission of the church, and to be used in all aspects of church life. Whether it's in a one-to-one, whether it's in a connect group, whether it's in a main meeting, whatever we're sharing, we should be relying and calling on the gifts that God has given us. And we can use them in evangelism. We can use them in prayer. We can use them in warfare. We can use them just to hear God's voice as he speaks into a situation. They're not for just for special people or for fringe groups. The Bible tells us that we are all to desire the gifts. Each one of us, whether you're a Christian for 2 days or 2 weeks old, or whether you've been on the road for a long time, we are all to desire the gifts. So we see something of the purpose of the gifts this morning. And you might say, well, what's the ultimate goal in having those gifts in our lives? Well, if we take it to its extreme, it's so that God's name might be glorified and honored. It's not about seeing how good we are or how clever we are. It's about honoring the name of God. And so I want to use three scriptures this morning, which I'll read fairly quickly. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read two parts from this chapter. And it's entitled Spiritual Gifts, certainly in my Bible. It says, "Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines." And then it goes on to talk about the body having many parts, and he uses the physical body to illustrate that. And for the sake of time, we just jump to verse 27. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. All are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all do miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts." And then just one verse from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach maturity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." And then one last scripture is in Romans 12. So we go back a couple of books to Romans chapter 12. And we won't have time to touch on these this morning, but I just want to read them to you. And they're often known as the motivational gifts, which I'll explain to you in just a moment. And so Romans 12 and verse 16. It says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy or prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." And I said, these are often known as the motivational gifts. They're gifts of grace, and they are the gifts that sit more comfortably with us. So they would naturally sort of come out of who we are, our sort of personalities. And most of us will probably have one of those gifts within us that will sort of dominate, and maybe another one that would go alongside. And so that's why they're called motivational, because there's something motivating within us that wants to serve, something within us that wants to encourage, something within us that wants to give or to teach or to prophesy. And so they naturally fit comfortably within us. And so God uses those motivations to be able to bless the body of Christ. So this morning we're just going to concentrate on the main nine gifts that we read about in 1 Corinthians 14. And they're broken down probably into three sections. First of all, what I would call the communication gifts. Those are the gifts of tongues, interpretation, and the gift of prophecy. And then there's another block of three, which I would call the revelatory gifts. They are the word of knowledge, wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. And then we come to the other three, which probably people would call the power gifts. And we don't always see these in operation as much as we should do. The gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the gift of miracles. And so what I want to try and do is very quickly, because I say I wanted to keep it fairly simple this morning, is to give a simple definition of each one so we're all on the same page as we perhaps move forward into next week and into the days that lie ahead. So the gift of tongues, which is probably something that we hear fairly regularly, but probably not regularly enough. So these are spirit-given words so that we can pray in a language that God has given us and a language that we have not learned. And what it can do, it can release us to pray with our spirits and not necessarily with our minds. And I think it's always great if you speak in tongues as you drive along in the car. And at the moment in time, there is no law to say that you cannot speak in tongues. So you can speak and shout and sing it to your heart's content. They can be an outward expression that we have been filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I think most of us will probably use this gift in prayer, or we use it in worship up unto and upward unto God. I think there is a slight difference of opinion as to whether a tongue used particularly in a public arena like this or an open meeting is always directed to God. And probably theologians and even some of us this morning would perhaps differ as to whether it is always upward or whether it's used in a different way. I don't want to get complicated or confuse people here, so we'll move on from that. What I do find is quite often in a meeting like this, if somebody brings a word in tongues, it opens the door for the prophetic to be released. And I see that sort of time and time again. And so then we have the interpretation of tongues. And the Bible always tells us that if we have a word of tongues that somebody brings publicly in a meeting like this, we should always wait for that to be interpreted. Well, it's the revelation of the Holy Spirit, of a general sense or gist of what that person has prayed. We're not looking at a literal translation. The person that has the gift of interpretation is picking up a sense of what God is saying. And we've heard that a number of times. And then prophecy. This is really perhaps a year's teaching, and people could probably teach on this far better than I could. But how do we define prophecy in a small definition this morning? Well, I would say that it's the supernatural receiving of words from God for either an individual or for a group of people. These words can be directive, they can be predictive, they can be for encouragement, they can be for proclamation. And if time allows at the end, I just want to come back to that rather than dwell on it now. And so these three communication gifts are the one that we tend to hear and use in open meetings like this. And then we have what we call the three revelatory gifts, the word of knowledge. And so that is the giving of a specific revealed fact into a situation. And it's a supernatural revelation. It cannot be learnt through our own natural minds. If we try and make it up, then we soon get caught out. And so when Roger Cole was here the other week with his wife, Diane, he used the word of knowledge to be able to speak into areas where someone needed healing. And I think that incredible story that moved all of us about the lady in the blue Danube, he could never have ever have known other than by God supernaturally speaking into his spirit. And I have to say, and I think you heard me confess the other Sunday morning, you know, that perhaps in the things that God has given me, when the pressure's off of being the main leader, you can almost sit back and relax. And I know that I've challenged people here this morning to participate on a Sunday morning, by praying out, reading the scriptures, using the gifts that God has given them. But then I have to confess that when the pressure was off, actually, it's quite easy to sit back and let somebody else do it. And so I've been trying to encourage myself that I need to stir up those gifts that God has given me. And I remember the first time that God gave me a clear word of knowledge. I was speaking in a meeting like this, and all the time I'm thinking about eating disorders. And almost you say, you know, you're meant to be preaching, not talking about eating disorders. And of course, then I sort of clicked, God is trying to say something. And so as I drew towards the end of the sermon, I just felt God just saying to me this morning, there's somebody here who's really struggling with what you would call a very serious eating disorder. And there was no response. Oh, maybe I got it wrong. Anyway, during the dinner time, got a phone call from a person, and they said, that's me. And it was a serious situation. But then, as the person said that, then it's saying God speaks again. And the first thing, I didn't say anything because it all went quiet on the phone, because I just said to them, I said, did something happen when you were a child and someone's taken advantage of you? And you just begin to hear the tears and the sobbing start at the other end of the phone. And God does speak, and he speaks for purpose. And we were able to go back in history and redeem that situation, get it healed, parties involved to be given forgiveness, and all the rest of it, and it was left clean. And so when God speaks with the word of knowledge, it is for purpose, and it is to bring honor and glory to his name. What about the word of wisdom? Well, it's a God-given skill to be able to apply a word of revelation, but also to understand how to apply it to resolve or to assist in a situation. And I don't know about you, if sometimes you can be involved in a situation and you have not got a clue. You don't know how to respond. You don't know how to give an answer. You don't know what direction to give. But then God can speak through the word of wisdom. And I think this can be brought in a word of counsel, or some instruction as to what to do. If God given will sort of bring about that sort of resolution of the situation. And I think there are situations today and circumstances that need God's wisdom to unlock. And I think, you know, situations seem to become more and more complicated in these days. And then we've got the discerning of spirits. This is the third of the revelatory gifts. This is the supernatural insight from the Holy Spirit, which identifies what is the motivating spirit behind a word or a person. And I think there are times when personally I've known straight away that I discern something that this isn't of God. This is not God. And normally for me, you sort of get that uncomfortable feeling inside, that inner sense that something is not right here. And this gift is normally connected to maybe the source of a word brought in a meeting or in a church or in some other setting, in personal counseling or in a pastoral situation, when you realize that there is some other activity or another source or another spirit even operating, and it's not God's spirit. I think in times past, I've in situations I've had people speak back to me or to the group of us that they'll be there in a totally different voice to what that person actually uses. And so you know, and you don't have to be clever, you know this is not what it should be. And you realize very quickly something is wrong and very serious. But the enemy is very deceptive because he will disguise what is going on. And I think in many situations, you don't have anything as obvious as that. And quite often you have to listen to that inner voice that God is telling you something is not right here. And I think the phrase that Paul uses in this passage literally means the ability to discriminate or to judge. And to be able to actually judge what is going on here. So I suppose to put it another way, to separate appearances from reality. To separate appearances from reality. To discern the true nature of the situation. I know there's people here this morning that carry that gift. The problem could be emotional. The problem could be psychological. It could be psychiatric. sometimes there are other spirits at work in that situation. And sometimes it can turn out to be a combination of two or more. So that's when it can be connected. And I was remember getting a phone call from somebody who I hadn't seen for many, many years. And they explained that they were struggling and God had told them to contact me. I thought, yeah. I always sort of get that sort of caution in my spirit when that happens. And they wanted me to meet them in a very unusual place, which again, second caution. And this was just an ordinary person. We had an initial conversation and I thought, well, I'm not going to try and deal with this myself. And you try to think, is this a time waster? Is this the enemy? Or is it God? And so arranged to meet this person on neutral ground, and I got my partner in crime at that time, one famous Alistair Kay, who's halfway through his pilgrimage at the moment, and he was part of the leadership at that time. And so we met with a totally open mind and open to what God would show us. And this person became very, very emotional, and they started to sort of salivate and sort of dribble in their emotional state. And as we prayed, not only did we listen to that person, but more importantly, we listened to the power and the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it became very evident very quickly that this was a childhood trauma that this person was experiencing. And there was some emotional instability in their lives at that time. And they kept on saying, I need to be delivered from spirits. I need to be delivered from this. I need to be set free from this. But the bottom line was, it wasn't anything to do with the work of the enemy. Someone that needed healing, somebody that needed a little bit of tender loving care and some help from their GP. And with the help of some medication, all became right. But in the first place, we needed to discern what was going on. And so we do need, particularly in these days, the spirit of discernment when dealing with people. You know, sometimes we don't always stop and listen. There was a man who phoned the office. I think he must have spoken to Joyce at the end of last year. And it was a Saturday. And he said he needed to speak to a pastor. And I thought, oh no. Saturday morning. He was partially sighted. He was well dressed. He was staying in a local hotel. He'd been in church ministry in South Africa. He travelled to the UK and was waited to move into rented accommodation. His wife was due to fly in from South Africa that day. He had a mobile phone. He had pictures of his family. He said he wanted me to pray with him. He quoted scripture. And to cut a long story short, his wife, who was due to fly in that day, unfortunately, the plane got cancelled. And anyway, he said, oh, could you just pray for me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he was going to come to church the next day. I'd arranged to pick him up and all the rest of it. And then the crunch line, could he borrow £50? Because he needed toiletries and he'd run out and the money hadn't been transferred from his old account in South Africa at the bank. And it's like, you know, I'm in a hurry and think, oh, you know. And you want to believe people and you want to be kind and what have you. You know, I was in such a hurry, I didn't listen to God. Something just in me wasn't quite. Anyway, I didn't discern. And the true nature of the situation was that I didn't separate appearances from reality. Well, by the next morning, he'd done a runner from the hotel. He hadn't paid his bill for a week. And he was never to be seen again. I left him a message on his mobile phone. God will get you. No, I didn't. But I felt like saying it. But I did leave him a message. It was a polite message. And anyway, so, but you know, we do just need to stop and discern what God is saying in a situation. And then finally, the three other gifts that we often refer to as the power gifts, I say are not commonly used in church life as much as they should be. And I have to confess, they're not used in this church as much as they should be. First one is faith. The Holy Spirit's gift of, oh goodness gracious, 5 to 12. The Holy Spirit's gift of faith. The way I would describe it, it's that supernatural, sudden surge of absolute confidence in God's ability to do something that he chooses to do, which is seemingly impossible. And that can only come by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not almost sitting there saying, yes, he can do it. It's something deeper and more profound than that. And then healing, which again is a year's teaching. When there are clear evidences of healing, that is always a demonstration that God's kingdom is at work. And it's also having that supernatural knowledge to know and who God wants to heal. I think when we read the gospel accounts, Jesus did it in so many ways. And I say this is a whole year's teaching. And we need to go on praying regularly for the sick in the life of this church so that we see breakthrough and we consistently see people being touched by the power of God in healing. And then the last one, miracles. The best way to discern miracles is perhaps in this way. It's the supernatural and specific application of unlimited sources to our needs. So often what happens is that God releases his spirit and chooses to intervene in the normal orders of things. So there are various miracles in the Bible, aren't there? There's the calming of the storm. It's the walking on the water. There's the feeding of the 5,000. There's the coin in the fish's mouth. There's the water that turned into wine. And Jesus did it in so many and various ways. And so those are, there are those who today believe that maybe certain gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased when the apostles died and the scriptures were completed. I have to say this morning, South Kent Community Church believes absolutely 100% in the exercising of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we've mentioned. But in all these gifts, there has to be one key ingredient, and that's faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And as a church, I think we need to cultivate afresh an atmosphere of expectation. An atmosphere of expectation. That expectation is that God does want to speak. He does want to manifest his presence. And he wants to speak to you and he wants to speak to me on a regular basis. He wants to speak to us as a church. And so we need to cultivate something else. And that is the firm idea that God wants to use each one of us and to be available for him to speak through during these times. See, if we don't expect anything, the likelihood is nothing is going to happen. And if we have that element of faith, it's always going to move beyond what is seen. If I could recommend a book to you this morning, it goes back a few years, but I found it very, very helpful, and I'm sure that some of you have read it. It's called, a book called Surprised by the Power of the Spirit by a man called Dr. Jack Deere. It was a great help to me and an encouragement, and the things that he personally walked through as he began to experience the life of the Holy Spirit within him. I was going to go on to talk about a bit more about prophecy, and but maybe John might want to pick that up next week. But let me just stop a minute. Did you feel? Okay. What I want to do is just very simply show how to use two of the gifts. And then I'm going to hand back to Jeremy. And I've asked Fiona if you'd come and bring a word in tongues. And I've asked Les if he would interpret. Now, doesn't matter if we get it wrong. This is about learning and making these things natural and normal. So I just wanted, Brian, could you just come and play the violin just quite quietly, just so we just have an atmosphere of them. Is Brian gone? He's gone. Oh, thanks, mate. Just if you just pray quite quietly for us, just nice, and just, and maybe just phone it. And Les, you could just, oh, Les is upstairs, isn't he? Oh, he's there. You're there. Sorry. Just want to come and join me. And you know, just see that, you know, the gifts are there to be used, and we can just Father, I just ask you that you will just come in these last moments and just allow us just to sense your presence. So maybe you just want to speak to us this morning as Fiona just exercises her spirit, Father, and Les takes a step of faith, because I know that you've gifted them and blessed them with these things that you've released into their lives.
O kosundo arama mankindara kiada da bashundara kiandara ya. O la maksana ramashia da kasandara kiada da masanka maksani. Wahandari kia habashandara kala. Kisinde de vianda bakulo kutanda handi kisikerada.
Oh, how my heart beats for you. How my heart adores you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Your heart beats for me. Your heart is poured out for me. Oh, you magnificent one, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, and yet you're mindful of us, mortals, and yet, able, Lord, to connect with you. Oh, how my heart beats for you, my loved ones. How my heart cries out for you. How my heart yearns for you. How my heart longs for you. Yes, I sit enthroned amid the cherubim, but my heart beats for you.
I think as you listen to Fiona bring that word in tongues, there was a sense of love and passion. It wasn't warfare or anything like that. There was a tenderness in it, and just let's pick that up in his spirit and just watch sharing probably not deliberately, but as he interpreted that, then we gently sort of went over into the prophetic as well, which is a very sort of close thing. But it's just an example, you know, that we can use these gifts very, very naturally and normally and make them very much part of our Sunday morning meeting. So, Father, I want to say thank you, as Lord, as I hand back to Jeremy, for the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Father, we saw also in those gifts there are practical ones as well, in serving, in administration. Father Brian demonstrates the gift that you've put within him in music and worship. Father, we are such a blessed church. Some fantastic people here, Father, who carry so much. And Father, so much is locked up. But Lord, you want us to open up these gifts and to use them to build up the body of Christ. Father, for us to mature, to encourage, to bless, and to honor you. Father, we do want your name to be glorified in these days. And so, Father, help us to be the people that you want us to be in these days that lie ahead, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.